It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 577 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Ed Jowett from Shades of Vengeance, who fills us in on his current Kickstarter for Occupied, a Superhero Short, which is a story of heroes fighting for their occupied city. This crowdfunding project follows two heroes, Drift and Snake, trying to defend a city that has been taken over by an ancient being of immense power. It's all based on the era, the Empowered universe and characters. Ed also updates us on what is coming soon from SOV, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's always great to talk to Ed Jowett from Shades of Vengeance. And we haven't talked in a while, Ed, so how are you doing?
I am doing great. I've been super busy. It's great to be back, Wayne, because I can't believe how long it's actually been since we last spoke.
I've been busy as always.
It has. Yeah. It has. You know what? Like everybody, during COVID, during the aftermath, during the lockdowns and stuff, my morale was hit a bit. You know, my productivity did lag a bit. But I'm back. I'm working hard. It's great to be back today. Thank you for finding the time for me. I'm really excited to be here to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that relates to the comics and various other things that have been going on.
Okay. Well, why don't you describe what Shades of Vengeance is all about?
Absolutely. Just in case there's someone new or someone who missed the previous episodes.
Right.
So Shades of Vengeance is about creating universes. It's more than stories. It's more than comics. It's more than audio or movies or whatever. It's about creating universes. It's about building places where stories can happen and then using those to bring the stories to life, whether that is through one of our role-playing games, where we enable other people to bring their stories to life, or whether it's through comics or as I mentioned earlier, audio or movies, which we've been working on for a very long time now, to bring the stories that we want to tell to life. So I've got an amazing team who are all sort of desperately wanting to bring their, you know, their stories into the world, but also to help others tell their stories.
I like on Kickstarter, it says, if you like epic original universes with huge amounts of detail. I think that's a good description of Shades of Vengeance, which is something else.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I really enjoy building these universes. I really enjoy telling the stories that I want to tell within them. And you know, I've been on several times before, and anyone who's listening who hasn't, strongly recommend you go back and check some of the previous episodes. Wayne's said some very nice things about some of my comics. I was talking about you to someone at a convention I did last weekend, even. Just about, you know, how you had said about the female characters that I write, you know, that you enjoy those in particular. So yeah, no, it's you know, you're always very close to my thoughts when I'm making a new comic and putting it out into the world. And today there's something a little bit different, which I've come to talk to you about, which is the Occupied movie.
Which is a
live action movie, short movie. It was it's one of those things that you learn as you go. I planned it out to be about 8 minutes long. It's currently about 18 minutes long with no credits and some other bits and pieces that we could add to it. I think I planned the length of it quite badly. But hey, I mean, I don't mind. So this is a movie set in the Empowered universe, like I said. And obviously you've read several of our comics before, Violet and Blue Shift and so on. One of the comics that I've done since we last spoke is about a character called Drift. There was a comic on Kickstarter called Drift Heroism.
Mm-hmm.
That character is very early in her career as a superhero. She's very bad at using her powers at that point. She has the ability to shift density, and she keeps getting blown away by the wind because in order to fly, she has to be lighter than air. However, what I've done is I've forced forward through the timeline a little bit and gone about 2.5-3 years later. And 2.5-3 years later, there's an event going on within the timeline that I have planned out, where the old gods return. You know, the mythology talks about, you know, the Zeus, Hermes, Artemis, also the Egyptian, the Roman versions of the gods, and the Norse gods, and so on. They all have a place within my Era of the Empowered universe. And the old gods just appear out of nowhere with no warning and say, right, well, we rule the world. We were asleep for a while, but we still rule the world. And they are empowered of extremely, you know, high power levels. And so, you know, the sort of the main thrust of the story, you know, the characters that you're familiar with, the Violets and the Lacunas and the Blue Shifts, you know, they're all fighting the gods. But there are some heroes which are not powerful enough to fight a god that takes over their city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be a really interesting story to tell, and that's where I came up with the idea for Occupied. I sat down with my good friend Leo, who's worked with me on a number of different projects, particularly the audio projects that we've spoken about in the past. And we actually originally conceived this as a podcast. A 10-episode podcast where, you know, there'd be 5 minutes of a message from one person, 5 minutes of a message from another person, and then they'd be left, and then they'd go sort of do a dead drop. And when I decided to make a movie, I looked at this and I thought, well, I think we could actually make a really quite interesting movie out of this. So while the two don't spend much time on screen together, there are a few occasions, but they don't spend a lot of time on screen together. They leave messages for each other. So they speak about what's going on, about this old god, this ancient enemy, whose name is Hearn. Now, Hearn is a god of the hunt from Celtic mythology. And his empowered ability is to bring trees to life, basically turn your average tree into an ent that wanders around and does his bidding. So Drift has the ability to density shift. The other character, who's the main character in this movie, the second main character, is Snake. Snake is has the ability to change his form to look like other human beings. And while he's an accomplished martial artist, neither of those two really have the power to beat an army of hundreds of trees. So, you know, they are, you know, not in an immediate position to fight back and protect their city. And that's where this story comes in. Because, you know, a month or two later, think of them a bit like, Iron Man and Doctor Strange. They're in the same city, but they don't always work together unless there's a good reason to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a month or two after Hearn appears and takes over, they run into each other completely by chance, very unexpected. In fact, Drift refers to running into Snake at the head of a group of people who he's sort of mobilizing as a resistance movement.
Mm-hmm.
What Snake hadn't realized at the very beginning is that Drift has made another choice. Drift has chosen to help Hearn in the hope that she can temper his, destructive tendencies. Mm-hmm. And she's more or less managed to do that. She's more or less succeeded. But Snake is very much an antagonist. You know, he wants to fight for his freedom. So while Drift is sort of going, okay, look, we need to have stability now, and we need to, you know, we need to play along, basically, so that he doesn't hurt anyone, so that we protect the people, you know, that thing that we said we were going to do. We really need to play along right now. And Snake's going, well, if you don't fight for freedom, you don't have freedom, you don't deserve freedom. So no, I'm never going to agree to that. We have to, right now, we have to start fighting. Mm-hmm. So there's sort of this obvious, direct conflict between the two of them. And this movie really came about because I wanted to express some of the frustration that I've felt recently around, particularly around political issues, both in the UK and in the US. Mm-hmm. Debate seems to have gone down the drain. If you are on the other side of the political spectrum, you are evil. You cannot possibly have an opinion that matters. You can't talk about it. Families have broken up over certain political, you know, decisions and things that have happened here in the UK. I know that similar things have happened around hyper-partisan politics in the US as well. And, you know, while I'm at the end of the day, I'm a sci-fi writer, you know, I write in symbolism to talk about things that are going on in the world today. I this is something that's close to my heart. You know, I'm watching people who, you know, I care about, you know, two people I care about who disagree politically, and now they just can't talk anymore. Why? Because they can't debate, they can't talk about it. And I thought it would be quite interesting to, you know, maybe cathartic in some senses, to take that to the extreme. You know, these two people, you know, these two heroes, they won't talk. They won't work together. You know, that they'll talk, but it's an argument. You know, I'm right and you're wrong is really the message that they're both sending. And in the end, not to give too much of a spoiler, but, you know, in the end, it ends in disaster as a result of the fact that neither of the two of them were willing to accept that the other had a reasonable point of view. You know, it's oh, well, you don't share my point of view, so I'm not interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And you know, I look at the world and I see this happening and I think, well, you know, that's a disaster that we could all be heading for. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I say, I've amped it up to 11. I've never quite seen, you know, a city burn as a result of it. But you know, it's not impossible by any means if we can't at least come together and accept that different people have different points of view based on their experience, their life, you know, the way that they are. Mm-hmm. And you know, every point of view has an equal level of validity. Even if you disagree with it, even if you think their facts are wrong, you know, you can have a debate, you can have a conversation, you can see their point of view, even if you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I suppose that's the message I'm trying to give with this movie. That, you know, I really think it's important that we hear each other, we see each other's point of view, and even if we disagree with it, we can accept that that's a thing that exists, that you know, while we might disagree with it and the reasoning that it took to reach it, that we can sort of debate it and talk about it and explain why we feel that that point of view is wrong in a mature manner, rather than just going, mm-hmm. I'm never talking to you again if you believe that. So, yeah, I mean, it's got all of these things. And also, you know, it's exciting to see my superhero universe come to life. I'm able to write one of those strong female characters that you know, you've spoken about before. I'm very, very happy with the way that Drift came out. And Daisy was absolutely perfect for the part. She really embodied, like I said, Leo and I considered this for, you know, a podcast. And what we actually did is he and I wrote it or wrote the initial version that then changed significantly. But we wrote the initial version by doing an improv to a microphone. And I did Drift and he did Snake. And Daisy 100% hit exactly what I was doing with Drift. Like we were very aligned, and she got it right from the first audition. Mark also really, you know, he was very clearly the one who was closest to the way that Leo had initially done his bit of improv, and this very self-righteous, I know what it's like to be, you know, I know what people are like when they're in an occupied situation. You know, I've seen what an occupying force can do. And he was bringing a lot to the, you know, to the script was Mark. He was going, oh, I'd really like to add this line. I'd really like to do this. Really great to work with both of them. The entire crew was brilliant. Both the cast were absolutely brilliant. And just to tell a story in a bottle, because ultimately the restraining factor on all of this was the budget. I've self-funded all of this. I'm hoping to, you know, I'm running a Kickstarter. I'm hoping to recoup some of that cost, but realistically, I'm not sure I expect to recoup all of it. I've really done this because I wanted to bring a story to life in movie form, to see it happen, to learn about the process and to understand better. And I suppose to a degree show what sort of thing I could do if I had, you know, with limited resources. So just imagine what I could do with lots of resources, I guess.
Oh, wow. That's quite an ambitious project, especially given the climate going on right now. Cause, it's so funny to me when I go online and social media and people say, if you disagree with me, you can unfriend me now because I never want to speak to you or listen to anything you have to say. And I remember the days, I guess I'm old enough, where we used to agree to disagree.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. And I'm sort of looking at this and going, okay, look, there are some people who express opinions on social media that I think are insane and ridiculous, okay? I mean, yeah, absolutely, of course there are. But I never want to talk to you again, ever. What, really? Is that the best route for our civilization? What you're talking about is exactly the kind of thing that I'm saying. I mean, it's we are in such a connected world. You know, you and I are talking across an ocean right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, right, you know, we are so connected to everybody else in the world. And it almost feels like people are trying to throw up barriers between anyone who doesn't agree with them. Well, you never grow. You never grow your opinions if you're never challenged. If all you do is create an echo chamber and you only associate with the people who completely 100% agree with you, you're never going to change as a person. You're never going to grow and learn more. And I think that's... You know, that's not something that I want with my life. Mm-hmm. I definitely find it hard to speak to some people. You know, I find it difficult to, you know, get into their shoes and see that point of view that they have when I don't share it. But I keep trying because I think that it's important. I think that it's important to try to perceive what other people think, not just follow your own beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember one time I was riding in the bus and I was talking to the driver and we had differing opinions about abortion. And so I because we had a long way to go, I had nothing else to do. We talked and talked and it finally came down. The only place we disagreed was on parental notification. Everything else we agreed. One of us was considered pro-life, one of us considered pro-choice, and yet there was only that one area in which we disagreed. And I thought, wow, you know, when somebody said they were pro-life, I thought they had this list of beliefs. And I thought when they were pro-choice, they had this list of beliefs. That wasn't the case. There was just that one issue in which we disagreed. And I came away going, man, I'm not going to assume people have those things that those belief systems because they aren't. It's not true.
And it's not as black and white as that, is it? It's so much more complicated. And, you know, there are shades of gray and shades of gray that are across this arbitrary imaginary line that we create that are very close together, as you've just described. You know, very close together. But are one side or the other of this arbitrary line. You know, some people look at a political leader and go, oh, well, he'd be a disaster, or she'd be a disaster. You know, I can't imagine how our country would survive if that person was our political leader. But then at the end of the day, the vast majority of policies are agreed between both sides. You know, it's like you say, you know, I'm old enough to remember when we used to go, you know what, I don't agree with you, and I don't believe this, and I think that this is wrong, and here are the reasons why. And we could, as you say, just agree to disagree at the end of it, if that's what it comes to. You know, it's got to be a thing that's an option.
Yeah, we've got to get back to that. But see, we've gotten to the place now, and I personally blame political correctness for this, was that suddenly there was a set of rules and they were 100% correct. And if you deviated from those, you were not correct. And that meant you were an evil, bad, terrible person. And now I think what's happened is that both sides have developed
their own set of rules, as it were.
That's right. And those disagree with each other. And there is no, you know, people talk about reaching across the aisle. None of that anymore. It is all, I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to ruin you. You know, now there's people going trying to kill people who disagree with them. I don't, you know, for me, I'm just like, what? You want to kill a judge because they disagree with you? No. Why don't you have a discussion and talk about it before you get to actually pulling out a gun and trying to shoot somebody? Good grief. I'm just amazed that we are where we are. I think that the story you're trying to tell, I hope people get to listen to it, because boy, we need to hear that.
I think that you're right, and I think a lot of people don't realize that these extreme circumstances come from that small individual reinforcement that people are getting, you know, this echo chamber, as they call it, you know, and it's true on both sides. You know, this is not untrue for anybody. They just go, yeah, I'm never talking to you again if you agree with this. I'm never talking to you again if you disagree with this. I'm only talking to people who agree with me from now on.
Right.
And you know, I have been fortunate in my life to come across a lot of people who are good people who disagree with me in various things, whether they be tiny or huge. And I've learned over time that every point of view has some kind of validity to it somewhere. And often that validity is inflated if you look at it, you know, versus the facts, in my opinion. But at least I can see that there's this core somewhere where they came to this conclusion because thing.
Yes.
Right? Whatever that might be. And if you can see that in someone else's point of view, even if you agree or disagree with the line of reasoning afterwards, if you can accept that there is a core piece of validity in their view, then you can, not only can you understand that they're a human being as well who deserve to exist. You know, we don't so much in this country have a problem with someone pulling out a gun and shooting someone. Fortunately, right. You know, we have far, far different laws. But you know, if you can see that person deserves to exist, you know, there's also a chance to change their mind, you know, to speak with them, to debate with them, to explain where you see the flaws in their logic. And if they are equally willing to see that you have a core of a belief that makes sense, that has some kind of basis somewhere, even if you disagree with it, if you can empathize, you can start to change the way that people look at the world and particularly this very extreme reaction to small things.
Well, somebody once said something that I bought into, and I seem to be the only one, but somebody said more important than the act itself is the reason why they're doing that act. And I have lived by that philosophy so much, but I see so many people, they don't care why you think what you do. You disagree, you're wrong, you're evil, you're terrible. And I am to the point now where I don't want to listen to politics very much anymore, because I want to, you know, I know what my beliefs are, and I want to keep up with the news, but man, that's tough.
It is. It's really hard sometimes. And, you know, I try and keep up with current events. It affects my business, obviously. Particularly with the political stuff going on here. You know, Brexit, whether you're for it or against it, has had a really big impact on a lot of different businesses, including mine.
Right.
It's something that you sort of need to keep up with, but I definitely empathize with this struggle to you know, go and look and find these things that are just a bit depressing to know about. You know, it's almost like, oh, can I get away with not knowing this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's so unpleasant to think about and work to and remind yourself of every day because of, you know, the way people behave or the way people treat each other or whatever it is that you're looking at. It can be very distressing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely get what you're talking about there. It makes absolute sense.
Because I've actually signed up for a service that delivers facts rather than news reports.
Right.
Every day I get in my email box, I get something that talks about, this is what happened. There's no
commentary on it. It's just a case of, this bill was signed into law, this bill failed to vote, this whatever.
Right. And that's what I want. I can decide how to think about it myself, and I want other people to be able to make those decisions. So I like that. It gets every morning I get to see what's going on in the world without the color added to it. So I'm much happier following that than I am trying to watch all these, you know. And I, on the other hand, though, I do want to say I do like to watch both sides. Because I want to know what both sides think.
Absolutely. And I you know, I think that's important, whether you're on one side or the other or neither. I think it's really important to understand what both sides are saying. I think it's interesting because more so since, you know, compared to when I was a child, I think news stories, I think various, you know, bits and pieces like that have become very almost like a story. Mm-hmm. You know, almost like a, you know, I don't want to trivialize it, but you know, almost like a narrative that people, you know, go, oh, here's our narrative, here's the story we're telling. And a lot of the commentary seems to be following a narrative along from, oh, well, we made this decision 6 months ago, and that's our narrative on this thing, so we'll just keep following this. And, mm-hmm. you know, with the greatest respect to news agencies, I you know, that's my job. I'm a storyteller. I'm the one who's supposed to be giving narratives. Mm-hmm. You know, I would much rather that the facts were reported with less commentary, as you say. And I think that when I was younger, the news did tend to report more facts and a bit less commentary.
Well, even the choice of what stories get presented
is a
revelation sometimes of their perspective. So we have to be really careful. And this is why I look at several sources, because I want to know the news, but I can't trust one source anymore to give me
everything,
all the things I need to know.
Yeah, I totally understand. So yeah, I mean, Occupied is you know, it's like you say, it's an ambitious project. It's almost a daring project as well. I mean, it's not out of character for me to do something a little bit outside of what you would normally see, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of that. It's something that, as you say, I think people need to hear it, like you say. And I think that I hope that what I've delivered is sort of a thing that will make someone think for a few minutes after they finish watching it. You know, it's not an action flick to watch and get rid of. Oh, that was enjoyable. Okay, I'm done now. What's next? It's supposed to be something that makes you just think a little bit about why those two people couldn't find any common ground, despite having fought literal supervillains together in the past.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I like programs that do that to me. I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I did.
I used to, when that episode would go off, I would be sitting there thinking about what had happened during that hour, and the next show would come on, and I wouldn't realize I was 15 minutes into the next show, and I'd go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't want to watch this show. I was so busy thinking about Deep Space Nine that this show started up for me, and so I had to turn the show off because, well, I don't want to watch that.
Busy thinking.
That's right.
Yeah, there's one episode in particular. I forget its name, but the one where they bring the Romulans into the Dominion War.
Yes, I remember that one.
I've been a Star Trek fan all my life. I was, you know, watching it sat on my mother's knee, you know. It does exactly what I aspire to, which is, you know, it talks about the things that change humanity, change an individual person in a way that is entertaining, yes, but also in a way that makes you think.
Yep, that's the important thing. I don't want to just be titillated. I want to have my brain engaged as well. It's funny, where I go to church, I tell the pastor every time I hear your sermon, I have something to think about, and that doesn't always happen with churches. And so I told him, I said, I want you to know that I'm out here thinking about what you're saying. And so it was. Those kinds, I wish we had more of that. I don't feel that a lot of the news programs or TV shows or anything like that. I think we're just trying to occupy. Talking about occupied, mm-hmm. trying to occupy a half hour, an hour, or 2 hours of our time, and we don't need that. We need something that is more than just time, you know, spending. We need something that is much more productive. That.
The way you describe that, it makes me think of what I was taught about churches in the Middle Ages. Because here in England, when I was growing up, we were taught history. You know, started basically at about sort of 1060-ish, and then we'd do 1066 and the Norman invasion and so on, and. We were taught about the way that people, you know, the it was simply you go to church for an hour every Sunday or you go to hell. You stand there and you wait for an hour and then you leave. And that's church. Mm-hmm. And the way you described just now, you know, the way you described the, you know, the sort of the lack of thinking, it really triggers that memory in me about learning about that, because it's people should be thinking, you know, people not thinking does not lead to a healthy, advanced society. It leads to dysfunction.
Right. And that's where we are now, I think.
I would like to believe that it's salvageable, but I agree with you. I think that we are in a situation where so many people don't think. They don't critically analyze what's going on, and you know, some of that is the fault of the education system in this country. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for the US. I don't live there. But, you know, the way that critical thinking is taught is not necessarily the best way, I think. Mm-hmm. And people just jump to an immediate conclusion and then they must be right because they came to that conclusion.
I think people feel more than think. How does this make me feel? As opposed to thinking. And I think we need to get, I think that feelings have a part in what we do, but sometimes we need to divorce our feelings and just look at things from a non-feeling perspective. There's a balance between the two, and I think we have swung completely over into the feeling side instead of the thinking side. So I'd like to see that come back to the middle.
That's a really interesting point. I'd never really thought about that, but I can see what you mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I can see what you're saying there.
So tell us as to, is this already completed? Where are you in the production process?
So the movie is sort of roughly cut together, and we shot it on a green screen, which is quite a daring choice at the moment. Mm. I was lucky enough to run into a really, really good VFX guy, Jack, and he's been doing some work. So we've delivered a rough cut of the movie, and then he's gone away and he's done a first run on replacing the green screen with a background. So we've got sort of the whole movie. Sound is still underway. The green screen stuff is done, but sort of quite roughly, and it needs some more. Need some more tweaks. There's some more special effects stuff we could do. There's some stuff in particular I'd really like to do if we can get some funding in. Mm-hmm. I'm very confident that this movie could happen without the Kickstarter. Like, we could finish it off. Mm-hmm. But it would not... It would be 60% of what it could be.
Hmm.
And what I'm really looking for is more time from the CGI, more time from, you know, the sound and the music, so that we can really have it absolutely phenomenal, rather than having something that's kind of meh. Because, you know, if it's kind of meh, then people are not going to be paying attention to the message, right?
Right.
And right. You know, I've always felt, and I think you know this very well. I've always felt that there's no point in doing something that's half as good as it could be. There's almost no point in even producing that.
Right.
I want to do something that really tries to make the extra effort and go the extra mile.
Well, I've always appreciated that about Shades of Vengeance, that you guys don't do things. You know, comics, sometimes it comes out every month, it's got to come out, and therefore we don't have a lot of time to worry about it, we just get it out there. And I like the kind that like you're saying, I would rather wait and get something that's high quality than get my monthly thing. You know, as much as I love my monthly comics, I wish that more comics came out when they were ready rather than it's time.
That's,
but you guys do that very well.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you. Things go wrong. You know, I'm a project manager. For anyone who doesn't know, who's listening, I'm a project manager in real life. You know, that's my day job. And if there's one thing I've learned from being a project manager, it's that sometimes things go wrong. You know, you'll have delays, you'll have various things that get away from you through no control of your own. There's one book which I've been working on for a while, which was supposed to be with me in December, and there were supply chain issues. Mm. And so I didn't have the books with me when I was supposed to have them. It's been a real problem, but everyone's been very understanding about it. And I think ultimately most people would agree with you. If given the choice, they would rather wait an extra week, an extra month, and have something really, really good than, you know, have something that's a bit half-arsed and didn't really. My hope for this movie was actually to submit it to Cannes Film Festival. And unfortunately, it's not going to be ready in time. Things have taken a bit longer than expected. However, what does that mean? That means we go next year. You know, it's not
right.
It's not the end of the world. It doesn't matter, not really. And getting it right is so much more important. So, you know, we're going to focus on getting it right. We're going to focus on making sure that this is the best movie that we can make as a team on the budget that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my hope is that it's really gonna blow people away with how much we could do just on the budget that we're talking about. Because our budget at the moment is £5,000. That's about $7,000.
Right.
For the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked our asses off to get that to work. You know, I'd very much like the Kickstarter to help recoup some of that. That would be really nice. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's not what this is about. Like I said, it's about making sure that the movie is as good as possible and getting that little extra money to make it that good.
It sounds like a very worthy project. It's all your projects are worthy of support. And we need to get in there and back that to make sure that this happens. And maybe even greater things will be coming out from you. Because just this is a story we desperately need told today. So, boy, I am anxious to support it and get this thing going because we need to make sure it happens.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, would you like to have 5 minutes about things that I can talk to you about that I know you'll love to hear about? I can tease Absolutely. A few things. I've been working really hard over the last year, but I haven't actually published very much.
Okay.
And I'd love to tell you all about it because, you know, I know how you feel about all the stuff we do. So, like I said, we've done a Drift comic. The main character in Occupied also has her own comic. That's actually published. It's been on Kickstarter. However, there are a few more comics that we've written and finished. We've done Lobo number 2. So there's now a second Lobo comic. It's going to go to Kickstarter very soon, I hope. Really looking forward to that. It's the next step in that story. So for those of you who don't know, Lobo is an unempowered, someone with no superpowers in a world of empowered, and he mostly fights to rescue his city from the grip of the drug cartels, which are led by an empowered, a particularly strong one. At the end of the first issue, he had to flee rather than fight for a variety of reasons. You know, he's learned from that. You know, he's learned his lesson, and he has gone looking for allies, and he's going to return to his city having spent a month or two looking for the right allies. Only to find that you know, the Empress of Bones, the empowered I referred to a moment ago, she's not been sitting still all this time. She's been proceeding with her plans. So, you know, it's a new kind of clash. It's a change. It's a difference. And that's a really exciting thing to be able to do. That issue's complete. I'm really looking forward to putting that up on Kickstarter. We've also got a few underway. Before I got onto those, there's also Vigilance. Now, Vigilance showed up in Penumbra's comic, you might remember. She is able to see through the eyes of any other empowered. And she appears to be a villain, but she's a lot more complicated than that. She's actually one of the more interesting characters I've created. And notably, one of my favorite costume designs that we ever came up with for Empowered. We sort of go back to before she appeared in Penumbra's comic for her story. And you know, we see her before she became Vigilance and how she made that change from ordinary person with superpowers to... I'm hesitant to say the word supervillain. I don't entirely mean that. I more mean empowered. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Similar to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, your ideals. She has a core of her ideals that, while I probably don't side with the bad guys in general in the Empowered universe, I agree with and understand where she's coming from. Like, I understand why she does. She has some reasons. And that makes this a very interesting story to write. It's also great because it let me revisit a character from the Fauna comic who, you know, I didn't ever really get to do quite as much with her as I wanted. So it's really, really nice to be able to revisit her and sort of give her more substance, more character.
Great.
I'm working on another comic for Wallflower, who is one of our empowered. She has the ability to make force fields, she is a very, very strong personality. The name Wallflower is actually ironically given to her, because she's a very strong personality, and she's sort of got the fish out of water thing going on. You know, she's not in her home city. She's been forced to move. And you know, things are strange and things don't quite line up and so on. And it was good fun to write this, you know, because I actually wrote it around the time I was moving house and I was feeling a bit vulnerable and a bit strange, you know, and hang on, no, home's not in that direction where I would normally walk to. No, it's actually this way instead. And you know, it's sort of all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you know, it was really good fun to write that. During that time, and you know, so those are our superhero comics. As if that's not enough, we've been working on some comics in some other genres. So we've been working on a noir comic about a detective in our Era of the Chosen universe. Now, Era of the Chosen is the perfect fodder for a noir universe because the universe is about. The role-playing game is about creatures from another dimension that sort of reach through into ours and grab people. They, you know, they disappear into nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Only a very small percentage of people can see them, and the people who can have been able to sort of manipulate through resources that you can obtain from the other dimension. They've been able to manipulate the city to be on top, basically. So then imagine being in this city as a private investigator. People just go missing randomly, and the senior families, they're all trying to cover it up because they don't want to cause a mass panic by revealing that these monsters exist. Being a private investigator and a smart one, you know, she's going around, she's trying to find out, you know, what's going on and trying to trace down one particular disappearance. And, you know, every time she gets close, you know, she's frustrated by this powerful family. And she starts thinking, well, you know, maybe it's one of their own. You know, maybe one of their guys, you know, one of their family, you know, maybe that he's just a nutter. You know, walks around in a mask. You know, people talk about monsters. Maybe he walks around in a mask and murders people and disposes of the bodies. And the family's just covering it up because, you know, that's a logical conclusion. And it's sort of a bit of a fun with the Sherlock Holmesism of once you dismiss the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
Right.
Well, the thing is that what she would define as impossible is in fact what's going on, but she has no idea about this. And it's sort of all about her investigations and her deliberations into what is actually happening here. You know, what's going on? Why is all this stuff happening? It's been a really fun comic to write, and I've been working with a lovely lady called Leanne on it. We're actually writing the comic as a sort of an extension of a 10-episode podcast that Leanne's been writing for about a year and a half now with me. And I'm really looking forward to the podcast happening, but in the meantime, the comic is more or less ready. I think you know, the comic going out into the world, you know, to introduce people to the concept, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's one thing. We've also written a comic, and it's in our Era Survival universe, which is a zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's just a bit more lighthearted fun. I like to have those from time to time. It's a story about three survivors who work together. You know, they go out, they salvage things and run into the various problems that you run into during a zombie apocalypse. You know, whether that's a random zombie attack that you weren't expecting or raiders who are looking to steal everything you have or, you know, whatever that might be. It's really sort of a look around the universe, sort of a window into the soul of what's going on. And that's been fun in itself, just to explore that universe, because the role-playing games and the audio dramas that we've done, they're very serious in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a bit more sort of light-hearted fun is actually really nice for a change. Because at the end of the day, you know, telling stories is about having fun, not just giving important messages. That's part of it. But having fun is another part.
Right.
And then the final thing, and I have to talk about this because you and I have spoken about it a few times. You've asked me a few times, oh, Ed, you do comics, you do audio. When are you going to do animation? I've actually been working on animation for about 6 months now, with a small team, of very, very dedicated and wonderful people. We are working on an empowered animation, which currently working on a 1 minute, 30 second trailer for a short movie, I guess, that we're thinking of doing. The 1 minute, 30 seconds involves three characters, although it won't be immediately obvious to most people. It involves Penumbra. She's hidden away in the background. It involves Violet, and it involves the Empress of Bones.
Mm-hmm.
And the intention really is to have, you know, a story about the Empress of Bones. You know, she decides to expand into a new city, and it happens to be the city where Violet lives. Violet's less than happy about this, to say the least. The Empress, on the other hand, you know, Lobo's followed her. You know, Lobo doesn't let things go very easily, and he's followed her to, you know, to this other city. And you know, it's supposed to be a story about, you know, moving into a new place where, you know, you maybe initially you feel confident, but or maybe you feel like you've escaped the problems that are elsewhere, but all you've really done is new problems, and running away from your problems never really actually deals with them. You know, they'll catch up with you eventually.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got loads going on. I mean, we always do. But animation is something that I've wanted to do ever since you first asked, to be honest, and before. And the opportunity to get it done, you know, dropped in my lap. And I just thought, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So my hope is that you can look forward to seeing a lot from us this year. You know, obviously, Occupied is going now. Mm-hmm. We've got Lobo number 2. We've got a new anthology to come out. We've got Vigilance. We've got Wallflower. We've got Fauna number 2, which is currently underway with artwork. We've got Cascade number 2, which is currently underway with artwork. We've got obviously the Olivia comic, the noir comic that I mentioned earlier. We've got the zombie apocalypse comic. We've got the animation. We're certainly going to be very busy for the foreseeable future.
That's good for us.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I to see all those good things.
I'm really glad to be able to sort of bring stories again. It's been a hard sort of 9 months for me, not sort of working on all this stuff, but not being able to bring it to fruition in reality. You know, there are a lot of people who work in silence all the time and never get their stories out into the world. And I always encourage them, and I always try to help them wherever I can to help them bring those stories to life, because stories are great, and telling stories for your own enjoyment is absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But imagine if it changes even one person's mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is so important to grow the perspective of other people, to inspire people, to show people that, you know, not everyone is like that, or you know, that there, I don't know, there can be a superhero who's like you. You know, I'm neurodiverse. I have ADHD. Writing Blue Shift was absolutely brilliant. It was absolutely fantastic. And for someone else with ADHD to come up to me and go, yeah, you know what? I know what you were going for there, Ed, because I do that too. You know, I have that, you know, people would assume it's about 5 minutes of thinking that is about 1 second of thinking before I open my mouth, because it's just the way I'm wired. And, you know, it's a reminder for people that, you know, that there are other people out there like them. There are other people out there like them who really believe in things, who, you know, whether that's the same thing or different things, they exist. They are real people, and no one is alone in the struggles that they face.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Very good. You guys always do tremendous quality stuff, and I can't wait to see some of these projects come up. Now, if people want to follow your guys' stuff, where do they do that?
ShadesOfVengeance.com is always a good place. We're also on most of the social medias. It's either Shades of Vengeance, or one word, or it's Shades_of_Venge, because places like Instagram and Twitter have a character limit, and we're one character too long, it turns out. So Shades_of_Venge on Twitter, Instagram, Shades of Vengeance on Facebook. We've also got a Discord where discussion can take place. I'll make sure you have a link for the show notes. If you want to talk about stories, if you want to bring your own story to life and you just want some thoughts and some advice on how to do that, you know, reach out. We love bringing stories to life. We love helping other people bring stories to life. It's, to me, the reason I do this is so that I can tell stories. My day job, as I said, I'm a project manager. It's in software delivery. It's a very technical, factual world with sort of limited scope for creativity. So seeing stories emerge, it's something that's very important to me.
Well, boy, it certainly shows. You guys make such wonderful stories, and they're so worth the time and support and being able to read them. So just keep up the wonderful stuff. I just can't wait to see all these things come out.
Thank you so much. And personally, Wayne, thank you for supporting so many of our projects. You know, I always see, you know, I put up a project, I always see your name there, you know, and it's really heartwarming to see that someone who is exposed to so much media within this industry, you know, comics in particular, you keep coming back, you keep coming back for more. And that reassures me, you know, everyone has a little bit of, is what I'm doing a good thing? It reassures me that, you know, if someone as experienced as yourself at all of this, you know, breadth of comics that are available in the world, you keep coming back for more. That reminds me that what I'm doing, you know, it's worth it. It's special. You know, it's one more thing that makes me go, yeah, this is definitely worth doing. So thank you personally as well.
It's easy to support quality. So I keep supporting you guys because you make quality stuff. So just keep it up.
Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.